Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. If you're applying to medical school in 2022 to start medical school in 2023, join me Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern or Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern at premedworkshop.com. Go register today. I'm going to show you how to tell your story in your application. Again, that's premedworkshop.com. If you are applying to medical school in 2022, be there or be square. The pre-med year, session number 324. Hello, and welcome to The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. Welcome to The Pre-Med Years. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, your host here every week, where I have amazing guests and great information to help you on your journey to medical school. This week is no different. I have two great guests, both from the Summer Health Professions Education Program, or SHPEP, which is a program, a free summer program for freshman and sophomore college students to give you a look into the health professions that you are interested in. We're going to talk all about what the SHPEP is, what its mission is, why it was started, and so much more. If you are interested in applying to the SHPEP program, then you need to do that by February 15th, 2019. As we're releasing this, the application deadline is February 15th. If you're listening to this in the future, go to shpep.org and check out the new dates for whatever year you are listening to this in the future. And welcome. Let's go ahead and jump in and say hello to Shantez Bailey and Dr. Norma Iris Polhunter. Norma, Shantez, welcome to the pre-med years. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having the invitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. This is the first time I think that I've had somebody from the gods of the medical school world, the pre-med world, the AAMC on the podcast. So I'm excited to get you on and talk about this amazing program, the Summer Health Professions Education Program for pre-med students. So I want to start with you, Shantez, and just get a little bit of a background with what you do at the SHPEP, we'll call it from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I serve as the team lead for the communications and outreach aspect of the initiative. And primarily what I'm in charge of is just making sure that I increase the visibility and overall awareness of the SHPEP initiative. So I like to say I sort of serve as the voice of the program, and I just like to go out and help recruit potential applicants that'd be interested in attending the program.
So you're like the evangelist for the program.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great term.
And Norma, what about you? What do you do there at the program?
Yes, I serve as the deputy director for the Summer Health Professions Education Program, and it's funded actually by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. AMC and the American Dental Education Association serve as the national program office. So we help to provide technical direction and assistance And so as a deputy director, I'm responsible for the oversight of the national program.
Okay.
Which is implemented at 12 institutions across the United States.
Yeah. So we'll dive into the locations and how that all happens. But let's talk about the initiative to begin with. This year, if I'm not mistaken, we're recording this in 2019. This is your 30th anniversary. So what was the goal of this initiative when it started 30 years ago?
Sure, I can start off. The vision, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation conducted a study where they learned in the early 80s, I believe it was, to understand why there was a lack of diversity within the physician workforce. And what they found was that although there were quote-unquote qualified applicants from Latino, African-American, American Indian Native communities, that what was happening is that many of the students didn't know exactly what to do. They weren't socialized to the process of applying to medical school, the interview process, just the whole from the point of selecting an institution to going to interviews, writing essays, that there were a lot of unknowns, particularly for students who came from underrepresented communities. And so based on their preliminary research, they decided to develop this program in 1989 that started as the Minority Medical Education Program to provide students from underserved communities, particularly at that time, it was African-American, Mexican-American, American Indian Alaska Native, and mainland Puerto Ricans to be able to support their interest in pursuing medicine as a career.
Okay. And so starting out 30 years ago, trying to serve the underserved as far as pre-med world, how have you seen that mission be accomplished over these 30 years? Are you tracking that with matriculants in a medical school and seeing an increase in diversity there?
Yes, we actually have very robust data that demonstrate that the program has been quite significant in increasing the diversity of the applicant pool, as well as those who actually matriculate and graduate from medical school. And so to date, based on our data, we have numbers that show that about 67% to 68%, depends on the year, of those who participate in the program actually applied to medical school. And of that group of applicants, about 66 to 68% tend to get into medical school. And to date, we have about a little over 7,000 individuals who participated in the program who are physicians and dentists, because we expanded to dentistry in 2006.
Okay.
So we have some really good results.
Is the program limited to underrepresented minorities?
No, actually the program has evolved over the 30 years to really broadly define diversity and who is underrepresented in medicine. If ANC does a lot of great work in terms of research and data. And for example, recently released what we call analysis in brief that showed that the overwhelming majority of medical students' family income is at the top fifth quintiles of U.S. income. So basically, it's a lot of rich people going to medical school. And so, you know, to simplify it, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't me. I want to clarify. That wasn't me going to medical school, but I'll be the bottom part.
Yeah, so... But we recognize that talent, we need talent from all across different segments of our society. And so when we think about serving the underserved, that's very broadly defined as individuals who come from economically disadvantaged backgrounds, not only those who are historically underrepresented in medicine, but also students who come from rural communities, urban communities, individuals who have various identities that are not well represented in medicine. And so the program has evolved to think about underrepresentation much more broadly beyond just race and ethnicity.
Okay, but still focusing on underrepresented in some manner.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this journey. The pre-med journey is long, it's crazy, and that's what we talk about here on the Pre-Med Years is kind of demystifying the whole process. For somebody looking at the SHPEP, should they be looking at it as a high school student, as a freshman, sophomore? What age range, what part of their journey are you looking for students to be involved in?
Well, I think when it comes to our students, because I really am part of the recruitment effort, we really would like to consider, or high school students, upperclassmen, junior and seniors, to really consider within their first or second year of college, just getting ready for the SHPP application process. That way they can hit the ground running as soon as they become a freshman. But the program is catered to freshmen and sophomore students, college freshmen and sophomore students, and or students who have 60 college credits or less. And so that is particularly important for students who might be attending community college. So community college students, they can attend as well as they have, as long as they have 60 college credits or less.
Interesting. Okay. So you're looking for somebody pretty early on. And what's the thought process behind that, early on versus later in the journey?
Sure. Actually, the program, as it's evolved throughout the years, has evaluated what works and what doesn't work. And what we found is for students, especially when they come from underserved communities, that sometimes getting to the junior and senior year, that there are a lot of missed opportunities to build a strong profile, to be competitive to medical school, dental school, other graduate programs. And so they found that in some research that was done through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, that getting students earlier was the most beneficial. But like anything, as early intervention, more like prevention versus, you know, basically putting a Band-Aid on something, but really building up in the student's capacity to be successful early on. And so it is unique in that it is for freshman and sophomore college students. And that started when the program in 2006, when it expanded to include dentistry, that was a major shift. It no longer accepted students who were in their junior, senior, or post-baccalaureate years.
Okay.
So the focus is to build their strengths and to focus on academic enrichment.
Okay. So let's actually talk about the program. We've been kind of talking all around it. What exactly is the program?
So SHPEP is a free, you hear that, free.
Cha-ching, I got that, free.
I like to emphasize that program for freshman and sophomore college students interested in one of eight health professions. So it's not only medicine, dentistry, pharmacy, public health, nursing, physical therapy, I say optometry, and for physician assistants. Yes. And so it's a program that the student, the residentially based program in the summer, 6 weeks, you get to stay at a academic health center on their campus, and you get to learn everything you need to know about that profession. So for example, I'll talk about medicine since that is the most long-standing component. The students will spend 6 weeks. They live on campus with other students like themselves. They're usually it's 80 students per site usually. And the student has an opportunity to participate in academic enrichment. So they really get into the basic sciences and math, study and learning skills. They get to shadow. That's 5% of the program, but they get to see surgeries, or they get to observe babies being born, or, you know, work in the lab. And so it really gives them a really well-rounded view of what it would be like in the future, but also prepares them for what they need to do now as a student to prepare for that pathway. So, you know, understanding how to study, that's important. Understanding how to use money, because financial literacy is key, because it is a significant investment of money in the future, but it's definitely doable. And so it really tries to capture the student's experience holistically to prepare them for that pathway.
And just to piggyback off of that, I agree that the 6 weeks is really a lot about career enrichment. But something that I like to reiterate just to potential applicants is that it's also the time for them to get that shadowing experience and realize, is this the career for them? Mm-hmm. So a lot of students may leave the actual program afterwards and decide, I might need to transition or go into another career field or another health career track. And we understand that. And that's sort of why we also encourage, you know, freshmen and sophomore, it's easier for you to transition at that point in your time. So in your career. So I think it's important that the students know, a lot of students may come into the program for 6 weeks and decide afterwards, I thought I was interested in dentistry, but now that I took this program and got that exposure, I realized maybe I'm interested in nursing or another aspect of the health profession. So,
and it's fun because it is fun. A lot of students develop lifelong friendships as a result because they're all together for 6 weeks and going through this unique experience together. And so they really get to be in students who are just like them from across the country. So that's also very exciting to have that experience that's very unique each year. And also for students who can't afford to travel to a site, because we have 12 sites across the U.S., we have a travel scholarship, and they also get a stipend. So it's really meant to provide a really a fully accessible program for students.
Let's talk about the day-to-day. So it's 6 weeks, and I think you said 5% of it is shadowing. Is the majority of the time spent in a classroom setting listening to lecturers talking about financial stuff and more of the academic stuff, learning how to study, or are there other aspects of the program as well outside of the classroom?
I think I would say probably the majority of the time is inside the classroom. There are like community-based projects as well. There's some work in laboratories. Students get to participate in clinical simulations. So you do get out into the clinical environment, into the community. A lot of the programs focus on health and healthcare disparities. So everyone gets a really good experience. So it's not necessarily always the traditional sit in a lecture hall. There is a good part of that, but there are other ways of learning that are integrated.
And then on the weekend, students do also get some field trips. So depending on what program site they are, where they're located, they'll actually get to explore that state and within that particular city or around that campus. They'll have some field trips and just get to network with other healthcare professionals as well while they're there. So like Norma said, there really is that great aspect of fun that's available within the, you know, within the 6 week experience.
Very cool. And I want to highlight, and you guys highlighted it as well, just getting together in a room of other pre-meds or pre-dent or pre-PA, whatever you guys are, obviously for this podcast, mostly pre-meds listening, but getting together in a room for that long with somebody who obviously has at least maybe some of the same struggles that you've been on, that the connections there, the networking there is just so powerful. I know when I travel and I go speak at conferences, I get the opportunity to hold meetups and students come and we have dinner. And I do that just to get the students together because I know that the relationships that form just from having one dinner together can be powerful. So I can't imagine 6 weeks together is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because the experience is not only with your peers, but with others. You know, you really get a sense of what it's like to be in a medical dental school and a pharmacy school when you're in this program. And then you're surrounded by not only your peers, but individuals who are truly invested in seeing you grow and be successful. And I think that's what really makes a difference with SHPP. It's the environment and the culture that is embedded within the program experience that every institution there, you know, can say, oh, I know, you know, this dentist, or I know this physician, or I know this scientist who really believes in me because they were my faculty member at HPP and they could write me a letter. So that we always hear that from students that it makes a world of a difference in building their kind of social capital because sometimes mm-hmm. some students, depending on their experiences, never really had someone who they can call up and say, hey, can I come shadow? But they have this experience now where they could, you know, they know a physician who really is invested in their development. So that makes a difference as well.
Yeah. And then when they go back to wherever they're in school, maybe that physician that they've connected with will know somebody back in their hometown and can continue shadowing based on that connection.
Exactly.
Very cool. So you mentioned that it's free. Now, as a college student, I hear free and sometimes that's exciting. Sometimes I think, what's the catch? So you mentioned that this is a program funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And so let's talk the application process. There's no application fee. There's no fees that you don't want any money from me.
It's a question we get. I don't know. You know, it's a question we get often, but we really don't want any money. Now, at this point, I don't know, Norma, if you want to, there is a travel scholarship. So some students may have to pay the travel in advance, but they will be reimbursed.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, Norma, how you want to term that, or if you want to, how do we want to phrase that with the, you know, because it is free in that you'll get a reimbursement.
Yeah. However, and the travel scholarship, is that a guaranteed thing? If a student says, hey, like, I put it on my credit card, I can't really afford this, what's the probability that somebody's going to get that scholarship?
If the scholarship is based on oftentimes student needs, so it might not be fully funded, but they will get some funding to attend the program site.
Okay, to travel to.
So there's no cost to participate, but students may have to pay their travel up front, depending on how the site manages that process. But in terms of there's no application fee, there's no fee to participate, that's the only probably out-of-pocket cost that they'll have. And then they have a stipend, which, you know, hopefully will offset other costs.
Like, what's the stipend right now?
It is
$600.
Okay.
Yeah.
$600.
So, and it's consistent, throughout all the program sites.
Okay.
Regardless of location.
Okay. Let's talk about the locations. You mentioned there are 12 locations that a student could possibly go to. Where are those locations currently?
Oh, we're all across the country since it is a nationally recognized program. So I'll list the schools: Columbia University, Howard University, Rutgers, University of Alabama, UCLA, University of Florida, University of Iowa, and University of Louisville, University of Nebraska, the University of Texas, University of Washington, and last but not least, Western University, which is also in California.
Okay.
So they're all across the country.
Okay. And are they located at the medical school or at the undergrad campus? What does that look like?
They primarily are located on the, you know, some of them have undergraduate campuses, some of the schools don't. So they're always within the academic health centers. So sometimes some of the classes may be in the medical school, the nursing school, the pharmacy school. It just depends because each program offers different health professions, but they definitely will be in the same environment that medical, dental school students or other health profession students are in.
Okay. So every site doesn't necessarily offer all of the different programs for the different tracks that students are on.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's where the student will have to visit the website, shpt.org. And there's a list in the application process where you can choose what career track you're interested in, and it'll show you the list of what program site actually takes that, you know, that career track. But all of the program sites, all of the 12 program sites do have medicine and dentistry.
Okay.
They all have the medicine and dentistry track.
Okay. Yeah. So for the purposes of our audience, every site is open.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So let's talk about the locations themselves. When a student is applying, how much say do they have in where they get to go? Or is it just you guys pick where the students are placed?
Well, and that's where I think it's really open. And that's where we want the student to take charge, because they really have a big say where it comes to what program site they want to choose. Students actually get to choose up to 3 program sites across the country. And we really try to encourage students to get outside of their residency. So for instance, if you are from the New York area, maybe pursue California, you know, UCLA or Western University. That's where we really do encourage them just to get out of their comfort zone and sort of take a leap to another program site that's out of your state. So students can choose up to 3 program sites, but where it might get tricky is depending on, we also encourage them to choose up to 3 health career tracks. Because we do encourage interprofessional education.
Yeah.
And so even though you might be a medical pre-med student, you also, it's important that you know what a nurse does or what a pharmacist does. So they can choose up to 3 health career tracks outside of, you know, medicine or dentistry. And so up to those 3, they can choose up to those 3 program sites, and depending on what program site they get selected. Sometimes students get selected with all 3, and then they'll have to make a decision on what program site they like to choose from those 3 that selected them.
Okay. So let's finish off the application process before we move on to some other stuff I want to talk about. The application deadline, as we are recording this and as this goes out, it's right around the corner. So the application deadline for 2019 is February 15th. So a week after this comes out. How troublesome is that for somebody who's just learning about this program right now, for them to go to shpep.org and start an application? How long does that application process typically take?
Well, I would say that the first thing they should do is get their transcript sent in, because that takes some time. Go to their registrar, get their transcript sent to the program. So to download the document for that. If they can identify someone who's written a letter for them in terms of recommendation, there's one recommendation that's required. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the program, the application for the program is very similar to maybe like a college application, where you're just filling out kind of basic demographic information. You have, there's one essay to be done, and then getting those documents is important because they have to be postmarked by February 15th.
Okay. And I'm looking at the requirements here. You do have a minimum GPA requirement of 2.5 overall. And just to ask one clarification here, it says must be a high school graduate. Does GED count for that or no?
Yes.
It does. Okay. Perfect. Awesome. So if you're listening to this right now and you want to apply, again, shpep.org, and there's a nice little button there that says how to apply. You click on that and all the information is there. One of the biggest things that a student listening to this is going to ask is this worth my time? AKA, how is this going to help me with my application? What do you tell students with who are asking about how this reflects on their medical school application, or what you teach students there about the medical school application process to help them in the future?
Well, I think, first of all, it is very well worth their time. You know, this program is grounded in many years of experience about what works. And so they're going to get a really good inside view of what they need to do to be successful along the pathway to whatever health profession they're interested in. And so the 6 weeks, I know sometimes students are trying to weigh what, well, should I work? Or should I do something else, another class, or maybe, you know, go abroad? As a freshman and sophomore college student, you know, this is a prime time, as Chantez mentioned earlier, to really understand if this is a pathway for you. And so it really is a good investment, because you're investing in yourself and your own knowledge and opportunity. And so, and our data shows that individuals are more likely to get accepted to medical school and dental school as a result of participating in this program.
Very cool. So that should be an easy sell, right? You're more likely to get accepted. Okay, sold, done. And it's free, right? Did we mention it's
nothing
free?
Nothing left to say.
The other thing that students really love are free t-shirts. Do you guys give t-shirts?
Actually, you know what's funny? is that the students design their own, oftentimes yeah. They design their own t-shirts as part of the program. So we think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a way for them to demonstrate their creativity and really take ownership of the program. So every summer, we always get jealous because we have to do site visits. And we're like, we want the t-shirt. So.
That's awesome. So they take ownership and they can create it. I did ask students that I told them that I was going to be doing an interview with SHPEP, and what questions did they have? And I think we've covered most of them. One good question came in from an alumni of the program, and they asked, what are the options or availabilities for an alumnus to stay involved in the program?
Oh, that's a great question, Ryan. And it's a perfect timing. Like you noted earlier, this is our 30th anniversary, 2019. So we have really been working hard to reconnect with our alumni. We're going to have a lot of alumni-based events just to celebrate the 30th anniversary throughout this year. And so we'll have some speed networking opportunities, some professional development sessions available, particularly during the late summer here in Washington, D.C. So we encourage all of our alumni, whether you were part of the MMEP, SMEP, SMDEP, and now SHPEP. That's a lot of acronyms there, but we encourage all of those alumni. Right now, we have an estimated over 27,000
wow.
alumni that have participated in the program. And so definitely touch base with us via email, SHPEP alumni@aamc.org and send us your contact information, and we will definitely connect with you and keep you informed of all of the great alumni-based resources we have available for our alumni. The tagline we like to use when it comes to our alumni, it's a summer opportunity that lasts a lifetime. Like, we are going to be your connection and your support throughout your whole entire career pathway from beginning to end. But sometimes we lose those folks just because the program has been around for so long. Their contact information might have changed when they attended the program. So that's why, again, we just want you all to reach out to us. The alumni email, shpp_alumni@aamc.org, and we will definitely connect with you.
Let's talk real quick about how somebody is actually selected to attend. So a student is able to fill out their application, get it in before the deadline. How are you actually making the decision as to who gets in and who doesn't? And how many applicants do you get for the spots that you have?
So I can start. We have a little over 1,000 slots or spaces across the, you know, across the U.S. And this, actually, the program sites make the admissions decisions. So we have National Program Office. We just help facilitate the process. And so what the program sites are looking for is fit. So, you know, does this student in their essay speak to why this program will be helpful to them, for example? You know, what is it about their experiences tell us that they need this program? And so that really what is it's about. I mean, you mentioned earlier the GPA, you know, it's 2.5 because we recognize that students sometimes need support and that the GPA doesn't always reflect their talents or their skills. And so it really is about the holistic view of the student and how that fits with the program's objectives.
Okay. So about 1,000 spots, and how many applicants do you get for those spots?
Usually we get, in terms of completed applications, which means that they've submitted everything, we get about 3,500 to 3,700 on average.
Okay. So about a 30-ish percent chance, 33% chance of getting accepted. So that's good.
Yeah. And we like to encourage students that, you know, freshman students, just to add, if you do apply as a freshman and unfortunately you don't get in your freshman year, you can absolutely reapply again as a sophomore.
Okay.
So
very
that's
cool.
Good to know.
Is there anything else that we haven't covered here that you think a pre-med student specifically should know about SHPEP?
Well, I think in general, not just SHPEP, but there's so many programs out there that support students. And I think part of it is knowing about them is the first step. And sometimes we find students don't have access to the information. So this is great that we're talking with you about SHPEP. But then if they don't get into SHPEP, or they find that maybe they're like, oh, well, it's not relevant because I'm already a junior or senior, that many of our medical schools have very similar programs. And so we'd encourage them, if they have a medical school in their state or region, in their local community, to reach out to those institutions to find out what programs are available. And AMC has a great list of programs and resources as well on their website for students. And so I think, you know, for those students who say, well, this is not for me again because I'm past that stage, we ask you to be an ambassador for us and share this information with other students, maybe at your college or university, maybe it's in your community, maybe even you have family members. And so, we find that it's very important. It's our constant mission to make sure that we make this program accessible. And so this opportunity to talk to everybody is exciting. So we hope that, you know, individuals, if they don't apply because they're beyond the point, that they at least share it with others.
Just to add, I would say that some of the, when I'm going out to the recruitment events, a lot of the students may worry actually about the date of the program, because 6 weeks for the summer, as Norma mentioned earlier, it might be trivial if they're deciding that they want to take another summer class or they want to go on vacation. So I like to say most of our program sites, the date for the programs, they usually range between late May as the earliest start date, but everybody should be done by early July. So it definitely leaves some room for you to enjoy the latter part of your summer. Just something else to consider.
All right, there you have it again. That was Shantez and Norma, both from the SHPEP program, which you can find at shpe.com. P. Again, if you're listening to this in early 2019, as this podcast comes out, if you're listening to this before February 15th, go apply shpep.org. Click on the how to apply button and figure out everything that you need to do to get your application in on time to have an amazing summer learning all about the health profession that you are interested in for free. It's free. Did we mention it's free? And apparently you get a t-shirt too that you get to make, which is awesome. I hope this was helpful for you. If you have any suggestions for programs or any sort of organizations out there that may be doing amazing things for pre-med students, shoot me an email, ryan@medicalschoolhq.net, and I'll see if I can have them on to have a conversation in the future. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time here on The Pre-Med Years.